Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. If Stephanie was here, she'd say, your hermitage of the heart, and I would respond, your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints. So Stephanie's not here, but we have a couple of guests, one in studio, Father Jesse Mango. How are you doing, Father?
I'm great. So happy to be here.
He's a Dominican priest of the Irish province, but he's from Trinidad. And so I don't. Do you have a blend of Irish and Trini accent, you think, or is it just Trini?
I lived in Ireland for 10 years. Sometimes people say I have a bit of a gloss.
Okay, a little both. And then our other guest is Dr. Anthony Lillis, whom most of you know. And today we're going to be talking about discerning the priesthood and religious life and how it is that we lay a spiritual foundation that will help us to do that. And then we'll move on to other topics like, you know, what are the barriers, typical barriers to discernment, distractions, the way the enemy works, that sort of thing. So obviously, Father Jesse is a Dominican. How long have you been ordained as a priest?
This August will be 7 years.
7 years. Mm-hmm. And were you formed at the Angelicum?
I did. I did my licentiate degree at the Angelicum, but our house of studies, our Dominican Studium in Dublin, we get the SDB, the Sacred Bachelors of Theology through the Angelicum as well.
Yeah, and then so Dr. Lillis, of course, was also discerned religious life. He's married to his beloved wife Agnes, but he was did his formation at the Angelicum. Dr. Lillis, did you finish your doctorate on Elizabeth of the Trinity at the Angelicum?
Yes, well, I did both my licentiate and my doctorate at the Angelicum. I came back to America to write my dissertation, and then I went back to the Angelicum to defend it.
Very good. And so Dr. Lillis has been the academic dean of three seminaries, so he knows a bit about discernment. He is the co-founder of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation, and he, with Dr. Joseph Horcraft, head up our priestly formation, which is preparing young men for seminary and then preparing and then post-ordination formation. Dr. Lillis is now at the St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park. Dr. Lillis, to both of you, I'd like to know what if you have a young man or young woman who are coming to you saying, hey, I think I'm called to religious life or the priesthood, what are the spiritual foundations that you think they should have in place, spiritual disciplines to help them, you know, hear the voice of God and discern?
This is a really rich question, and I think it's very powerful that we have Father Jesse here because he has a charism for attracting vocations. Mm-hmm. And so I'm especially interested in hearing what he has to say. But I think three things that I think are important, and Father Jesse, I'd love to hear your reaction to this. First is, I think that with any discernment, but especially this discernment, establishing a routine of daily prayer and daily mass, if it's at all possible, is kind of number one. And then number two, I would say frequent confession. It's very hard to discern if your conscience isn't clear. And then the third one, and this is maybe a little bit more controversial, but I think you kind of need to take stock about who you're hanging out with. There will be friends who help you with your vocation and support you, and other friends who just don't get it. And they're not going to help you, and you're going to have to kind of maybe pull back from friends and sometimes even family members who are distracting you from what God is asking you at this time. That would be the three that immediately come to me, Father Jesse. But what do you think?
No, definitely. I'll echo that. And of course, I love the order that you put that in, right? Like, so the routine of prayer. I mean, discernment unfolds best when we're deepening the life of sanctifying grace, the grace of the Holy Spirit in our soul. And prayer is our contact with the Lord. And you know, it's in prayer that St. Thomas says that prayer is the interpreter of our desires, that our desires get reordered and towards its true end. And so we could speak about holy desires. And what happens is that in life, when we have a lot of noise, a lot of distractions, even sinful tendencies, obviously, we could live out of the outer area of the heart, if you wish, what classical Catholic tradition might call the flesh, rather than living in that, a term that I love from a fellow Dominican, Father James Brent from the Eastern Province, St. Joseph Province, you know, he talks about the deep heart. You know, living in that place where our will and our intellect are rightly ordered. And prayer helps the ordering of the intellect and will to be able to perceive the good, in this case, see more clearly through prayer, the great good of offering one's life for the salvation of souls through the priesthood, through religious life. And so prayer, because what happens in sanctifying grace, like, you know, prayer is what is one of the means by which this the grace of the Holy Spirit deepens in us. There are two principal gifts unfolding at our heart, which is essential for vocational discernment. The first is love, charity. You're about to undertake a great reordering of your will towards this great good. And so there's a deepening of charity needed to give the gift of self, because these vocations it's inherent to every Christian vocation, but especially these vocations where you are giving up many beautiful gifts, like the intimacy of marriage and or the right to a family in the way that a family would be. I mean, community life is slightly a little different, or they can carry a family spirit. So I would say the charity unfolds, but also the gift of wisdom unfolds deeper in the gift of, and that gift of wisdom starts to order our mind as well, to see more clearly. So I strongly agree with that, because what happens as we start to pray, those real desires come out. It's kind of like Peter in the water. Peter starts to sink. He takes his eye off the Lord. He looks at the wind. He looks at the wind. When you set out on a vocation, there are many storms, many things that can grab your attention. You know, the future is very unknown. And so, but the moment you look at Jesus and you think of Jesus and his message and the wider perspective of salvation, your heart tends to do something else. And that's what you have to pay attention to. And then look at that over a period of time. So I think time is important as well. And certainly, obviously, it may be obvious, but practicing chastity, huge part of vocational discernment, trying to aim for purity of heart and certainly, you know, not dating, but living a single life, a celibate life. Because often I am asked that question, you know, Father, I'm just, you know, thinking about this. Can I date a while? And I would say, well, no. You know, you need to practice this. Keep your mind and heart focused. And it's not like you're courting this. If this is a serious desire, you need to give it room to monitor it over a period of time. I would also say that, you know, it's very important to have a spiritual director as well as part of discernment, someone other than the vocational director, to whom you can, you know, open your heart, manifest your heart, because so many times men and women have concepts that block them from responding to the Lord, you know, concepts that are, you know, maybe an exaggerated sense of unworthiness, or feeling that they're incapable of the vocation, and, you know, or feeling, or just unworthy. I mean, many times it's so clear to me, a guy has a vocation to the priesthood, he has all the desire, but what's stopping is he just thinks he's not worthy to do it. And well, the Lord chooses all sorts of instruments, but over time it's helped them to understand, to walk out of that place of shame, and to bring that, and which is what you've talked about there with confession, right? So that's a big thing.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know if you heard this, but Father Jesse added three dimensions to the initial proposal, you know, not only prayer in the Mass, not only frequent confession, not only making sure you're around the right friends, but he also added to that chastity. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're going to be living a life of celibate chastity. Well, you don't have to wait for religious life to do that. It begins now. And this kind of goes with the relationships, but it's a little bit different. You're not going to be dating, for example. And then you also added, Father, the idea of a spiritual director. Having some sort of spiritual mentor to help you discern what's going on in your heart, because this kind of question isn't one that you can tackle by yourself. And then finally, what I really loved about your answer, Father, was you talked about the life of grace, and all of these things are ordered to deepen that life of grace. Because this a vocation is ultimately, it's not just a whimsical thing in our heart that we self-generated. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit in us. And unless we're doing things to deepen our life of grace, our ability to attend to those movements of the Holy Spirit is it's impaired. Anyway, I love the answer that you just gave us, Father.
Perfect. When we get back from the break, we just have a minute or so.
Okay.
I want to jump in. I want to make sure that we're not assuming folks understand some of these important points, because you guys have both laid out a very powerful list. I mean, you basically gave a list about how to be a saint, let alone how to discern. But before we go to break, I want to just tell our audience that these two gentlemen have brand new books out, and both are extraordinary. One is How to Be His, a 33-day dedication to our Eucharistic Jesus. Father Jesse Mango wrote that with Father Ignatius Schweitzer, and I helped a tiny bit. And then Dr. Lillis also has a collaboration with Father Ignatius Schweitzer, who's a Dominican of the Eastern Province in the United States. And they've written together with Julie Ensler, Named for Glory, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity's Identity and Mission. So you can find those two excellent works out at spiritualdirection.com/shop, or you just go to spiritualdirection.com and hit the shop button. They're both published by one of the best publishers in Catholic publishing, Sophia Institute Press. So you can check those out. And I think they'll be available, if not yet, on audio. They will be in audio through Saintify, Saintifi, which is a new service provided by Sophia Institute Press, where you, for a month, it's a very small monthly fee, you can get audiobooks, digital books, and it's way less expensive than Audible. It helps the kingdom because it's helping Sophia Institute Press do all that they do. So we get back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about how to discern whether we're called to priesthood or religious life. We'll be right back. Hey friends, before we jump back in, I wanted to tell you about an upcoming course at the Avila Institute entitled Exploring the Source and Summit. Dr. Michael Brummond will be teaching this course. It's School of Spiritual Formation. You have to apply by June 25th of 2026. And this course is going to explore the life-changing encounter that we are invited to have with Jesus in the Eucharist and how we can deepen our devotion to the Lord and his profound self-gift in the liturgy. I could go on and on, but I think those of you who are interested in such things will be quickly oriented to this beautiful idea of diving deeper into the Eucharist. So many miss the torrent of graces God desires to pour on them in the liturgy, and this kind of course will open up those floodgates for you. So it's offered in collaboration with the Adoramus Society as one course in the four-part series, Mystery and Mission in the Sacred Liturgy. So if you're interested in that, head out to avila-institute.org. That's avila-institute.org. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan Burke. I'm here with guests, Father Jesse Mango, a Dominican of the Irish province from Trinidad, and Dr. Anthony Lillis, who's the co-founder of the Avila Institute and currently also works in partnership with St. Patrick Seminary in Menlo Park. And we're talking about how to discern the priesthood or religious life. And both of you agreed that the number one item is prayer. So I want to just see if this is right. So I was asked by a new community to come in and talk to their leaders about spiritual progress and leadership and whatever. And I talk with the, and this is years ago, so nobody would have any idea who it is. Talk with the founder, who was this very charismatic young man, about his spiritual life. And I said, do you practice prayer every day? And he said, I do. And I said, well, will you tell me a little bit about that? He said, well, I do it in my car on the way to work. And so, and I thought immediately, there's some corrective action that needs to be taken. That's a good thing to do. It's not a bad thing, but that's not the kind of prayer we're talking about, is it?
Go ahead. Father Jesse, you are the master of this question.
No, not at all. But okay, well, I mean, I have my own, you know, persuasions on it, if you wish. No, I think that quiet time and prayer is absolutely essential for every Christian, period. Right. You know, it's about hearing God's voice, creating a desert. The early church, I mean, the desert is a theme of Catholicism and about the growth of spiritual life. And so much grew out of the desert historically, but also still spiritually, okay? And so I would strongly encourage someone. Now, you have to be gentle with someone coming in. It depends on their patterns. You're slowly helping them to encourage, to increase their prayer, to die to self, to give up things. And so, I mean, I would want to say that someone seriously discerning priest and religious act wants to at least move to an hour of mental prayer every day.
An hour of mental prayer every day, which means dedicated time.
Dedicated time, just a conversation with the Lord. You know, okay, if they have a book, that's helpful. Maybe if they, you know, they get distracted, they want to read something, and just to burn the heart a bit, throw the kindling in the fire. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, the rosary can be very much part of that as well. Reading scripture doesn't have to be an hour of total silence, but it's hard to put a measure on these things, for every soul is a bit different, but you could correct me, but I would certainly try to aim for, you know, half an hour of silence, of trying to sit with the Lord and trying, yes, I could be distracted, but bring my heart back to the Lord. And a lot can happen in those times. And that's, you know, where we, so much false desires give way. I want to give a real concrete example about in my own life. After 2 years of being in religious life, I finally got the opportunity to return home back to Trinidad and Tobago. And I was staying, I got some weeks with my parents for downtime, and I had some weeks of apostolate with the brothers. And, you know, I prayed the rosary every day. I did my divine office. I was faithful to those things. I was faithful to daily mass. But as the weeks went on, my daily holy hour of just sitting in front of the Eucharist started to wane. Now, maybe it's just me because I'm a beast. You know, I need a lot of prayer to, you know, for my heart to be ordered to God. And so, but as I noticed that holy hour waned until some days I did not get it, when I was speaking with my friends and stuff, all these worldly desires were coming back. Now, they were kind of there, but I felt the strength of them. They were coming back. And then it scared me, because then I started to thought, well, have I lost my vocation? It was still clear that I wanted to give myself to the priesthood, but I started to think, hey, I'm a young man, looking at all these other young friends, and I'm just like wasting my time studying and praying, you know, these are temptations. And so I went back to my religious life, back to my time of adoration, in my community, and especially that, at least that holy hour before the Lord, my heart started to change back. And so for me, that was a very concrete personal experience about the power of prayer. I'm a big proponent, obviously, of Eucharistic adoration. If someone discerning could really go and sit before the tabernacle, even if in a church, it doesn't have to be an exposition, that I think that's a very powerful way of prayer, because the church just says it. John Paul II quotes St. Alphonsus Liguria saying, after the Mass, after the sacraments, the prayer most beneficial to us, most helpful to our salvation is Eucharistic adoration, adoring the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist outside of Mass. And why? Because the Eucharist is the source of sanctifying grace. So it comes back to what I said in the first part, that we are the source by which sanctifying grace grows the most in us is the Eucharist. And that extends outside of the Mass. And so, you know, maybe theologically this, you know, go into all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, wisdom and charity unfolding by which all the other gifts for our mind and heart unfold. So that prayer is so important. And I mean, I want to shut up for a moment because let Anthony come in on yourself. But I do want to come back to something very important about really understanding the distinction between grace and nature. I think that's crucial for discernment and to help somebody understand that.
Good, good. Well, I want to hear Dr. Lewis. We've prepared a resource at the end of the show, so stay with us, on how to get your prayer life jump-started. But Dr. Lewis, what's your perspective on prayer? What kind of prayer does someone who's discerning need to pray?
Yeah, I think that this silent prayer that Father was speaking about is something that you want to work towards and increase a little bit more. But to grow in it, you know, chances are, people feel called and sometimes they haven't even begun a spiritual life. So sometimes you need to learn very basic prayers and begin to memorize things and repeat things. And I remember my biggest struggle as I was discerning was I had really struggled with the liturgy of the hours and the idea of I was coming out of a charismatic background. And so the idea of having formal prayer with the Psalms was difficult. But as I engaged the liturgy of the hours, you memorize the Psalms and they begin to enter into your heart. So sometimes prayer takes prayer that you don't like takes a while to learn and for you to enjoy the sweetness of it. Another thing, though, that I want to underline that Father Jesse, you were saying that I think is a special grace for our time is the grace of Eucharistic adoration. And although Jesus is fully present in the tabernacle as much in the exposition, there's something about our culture where we've spent so much time in front of different kind our cell phone screens or television screens or computer screens to be able to present ourselves before the Blessed Sacrament with Jesus exposed, with our eyes being able to gaze upon him. Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is never static. Mm. He's always communicating. It's like sitting in front of pure fire. And when you sit in front of pure fire, it sets your heart on fire. I've known people who really struggled with silent prayer. They enter into the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and they begin to desire that more and more in their life because they don't know it, but their hearts are being set on fire. And just to underline this, the best way to discern a vocation, whatever it is that Jesus is calling you to, is to allow him create the space of prayer where he can cause your heart to burn inside you, like it says in the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. When your heart is burning inside because you're attentive to him, now you're going to go. They were walking away from Jerusalem. They were going away from their vocation, and he came into their world, walked with them, and now they're walking back to Jerusalem. In fact, running back to Jerusalem, to filled with mission. Well, this is kind of the pattern of the vocations. When you begin to engage Jesus in prayer, he's going to ignite your heart, and that ignition of your heart with this love and wisdom, as you said, Father Jesse, this is what brings you up into that upper room. It brings you into the mission of the church. So I your answer was brilliant and very beautiful. Dan, do you think we're hitting the side of the barn?
Yeah, you know, I did forget to mention I was in seminary for a short
bit. You were.
I was. And so I've been through this process myself, discerned marriage. But yeah, this is great. No, I think, and just so we don't forget, we prepared a special resource for all of you out there, whether you're someone who is discerning, or you're the parents or grandparents of someone who is discerning or should be discerning, head out to spiritualdirection.com/pray, and you'll find a film series on my book, Into the Deep, which is the simplest, easiest book that I know of on how to begin a prayer life, learning how to practice Lectio Divina in the Gospels, coming to know Jesus, which is really the most important aspect of prayer. spiritualdirection.com/pray. And then I also want to remind you that, you know, both Father Jesse and Dr. Lois have said that time before the Blessed Sacrament is absolutely vital and in silence, and how to be his is really an extraordinary work that you can use on a daily basis to enter into that silence with reflections that'll help your heart and mind orient to the Lord. So check those resources out. One more resource. I usually don't like to give a bunch of resources. Usually it's just one or two, but this is so important. We want to help young men and women, but in particular, we have a resource specifically dedicated to young men who are discerning the priesthood, and that's myhighcalling.com. And on that website, you'll find just endless resources. There's a quiz about whether or not you should look at diocesan or religious life. There's all kinds of videos from great priests and our team and staff. And if you desire, that you can even connect with one of our team to help you walk through this process of discerning what it means to give your the entirety of who you are to the Lord and in the Lord's service. So check out spiritualdirection.com/pray, myhighcalling.com, and I have no doubt that you'll be deeply blessed. And Dr. Lois, thanks for being with us. And we're going to continue this series because I knew we would only get into a, you know, be just a toe in the water. And both of these men have so much to offer in terms of how it is to think through what it means to listen to the voice of God, what it means to say yes, which is a big, big deal. But in the future episodes, I want to talk about the difficulties of decision-making. We have a lot of young men in my experience in our time who just have so much trouble, you know, with commitment, and how do we overcome that, those challenges. But there's so much richness in the answers and the list that you gave, because I've written it down and I've been thinking it through, that we could go through disentanglement, friends and family. It's a big deal, which leads, by the way, and reinforces chastity, because there are systems we can be involved with that enforce the opposite of chastity, or infidelity to God, or harming ourselves in terms of patterns of sin. So thank you, Father Jesse and Dr. Lillis, for being with me today on Divine Intimacy Radio. And until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.